Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. If you're watching this as part of our online service, or maybe you're watching it after the event on demand, it's so great to be able to speak to you in this way. Also, I'll be bringing this message to our in-person service at the Priory Centre as well. And so it's great to be able to speak to the church in different ways and at different times. I hope you're all doing well. I want to begin by just expressing how grateful I am for Jesus and all that he has done, for the forgiveness that I've received and many of you have received through his work on the cross, through his death on the cross, and for the hope that he's given of an eternal future through his resurrection life, that we can have an eternity with him through faith in him. So grateful for all of that. And yet also, I want to be honest and say that often I live with a sense that there should be more. Am I really experiencing all that Jesus has for me? Am I really experiencing life to the full as Jesus intended it to be? Or am I missing something? I don't know, maybe you would rather hear a church leader speak more confidently, but it's important that you know that I'm just a normal guy, just a normal person, just like you. And if you wonder, you know, is there more than what I'm experiencing? That is okay. I wonder it sometimes too. And I hope that today this message will help you and it will help me. And we're heading towards the end of our 1 Thessalonians series. We're going to be looking at Paul's closing remarks over the next few weeks. And I just want to read a few verses today and focus on one of them in particular, which deals with this feeling, I think, of surely there's more. And it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." And the verse that I particularly want to hone in on and pull out is verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Another version says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Another one says, do not restrain the Holy Spirit. Another one, don't turn away God's spirit. And yet another one, do not put out the spirit's fire. And as we look at what this verse is saying, and we're going to have a look at the significance of fire in the Bible and the link between fire and God's presence. And as we do that, we're also going to be thinking about what does this mean for us today and how we live and how we relate to God. And why is it so important that we don't quench the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit? So let me just pray for us as we set off on this journey together. Lord God, I want to thank you so much that your desire is to meet with each one of us. Although we're watching this in our own homes and in different places, I thank you that you want to meet with each one of us today. Father God, I pray that you would help me to communicate truth really clearly today in a way which is helpful for people. And God, I pray this would not just be something I talk about, but God, I pray that each one of us would experience the truth of what I'm speaking about today for ourselves in our own lives. God, we pray, would you give us everything that you have planned for us today? Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Amen. So, God's presence and fire. I want to be clear on something first of all, just to make sure that you don't misunderstand me, that God is everywhere all the time. Colossians tells us he is before all things and he holds all things together. And we hear from Jesus himself where he talks about where two or three people come together in my name, there am I with them. And so when believers meet together, Jesus is always there. Jesus is in all things. He holds all things together. Yet there are times when God's presence is felt, where it is experienced, where it's obvious that God has shown up. There, maybe you've experienced a time where you felt a deep sense of peace come over you or come into your heart, or his protection. You've experienced his protection in a powerful way where you were fearful, where you were in a dangerous situation. Maybe as you've read God's word, there's been times when you've been reading God's word or you've been hearing it preached and you've just sensed God moving on you and changing you and transforming you in that moment. Perhaps you've witnessed some extraordinary moments where God has showed up and brought healing, or somebody has brought a powerful prophetic word that has shaped a church or shaped somebody's life. Maybe you've had a moment where you were having a conversation with someone, maybe someone who doesn't know Jesus, and you've just sensed God's presence show up as revelation comes to them of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. Maybe in a time of sung worship, you've felt and experienced God's presence, maybe the joy of the Lord, or maybe the intimacy of the Father's love, or maybe even a kind of a sense of weeping and repentance as the Father's presence has shown up. If you can relate to what I'm saying, I wonder, just maybe put a comment in the chat and say, yeah, you know, I've experienced times, I've experienced those moments where there's a tangible sense that God is present. He's come close. There's a holy moment. And as we read through the Bible, we often find that these holy moments where God's presence is tangible and can be felt, often in the Bible, those moments involve fire. None more so actually than Moses. In Exodus 3, Moses encountered God at a burning bush. It was clear that God was tangibly present as he spoke to Moses and he gave him a calling out of this burning fire. Then later, when Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery from Egypt and through the Red Sea, we read that by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire. God was present with the people of Israel. And one of the ways that you knew that God was present was because of this pillar of fire that was there at nighttime. And the story of Israel unfolds and God's presence with them in the tabernacle. There's fire in the tabernacle and around the tabernacle, and later in the temple that Solomon built. We read as Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So I think when Paul is saying, do not quench the Spirit, do not put out the Spirit's fire, what we need to think is, what we need to be aware of is he is saying, do nothing that dampens down the presence of God with you. You see, the presence of God in your life, the presence of God in this church is what makes us stand out. Paul is saying, don't quench that. Don't let it go out. In fact, do the opposite. Fan it into flame. Let the fire of God's presence burn brightly within us. Do you know, as a church, we need God's presence more than anything else. And the great thing is that God wants to be present with us. He's always wanted to be present and live amongst his people. He walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He dwelt amongst the people of Israel. Jesus himself was God who came to dwell among people. God has always wanted to be at the center of communities. And you know, we're discussing a lot at the moment about how this church meets together, and we want to talk more to you about that over the coming weeks and about some decisions that we're making. But what is most important right now is that the Holy Spirit's fire, God's presence, is with us. You see, if God is present among his people, it will draw others in, however we're meeting, whether we're meeting morning, evening, nighttime. However we choose to meet, life will flow from us as God's presence encounters us. We can follow the link of God's presence and fire a little further into the New Testament and read of John the Baptist, who was a messenger preparing the way for Jesus to come. And he said in Matthew chapter 3, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And of course, we know that after Jesus' death and resurrection and then his ascension into heaven, those believers that were gathering together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 2, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, this link between God's presence and fire is clear. And the church now, we are the living temple of God. And the Holy Spirit's fire is supposed to fill the church, the presence of God. God wants to be just as present with us now as he ever has done before. And the question is this: how much do we value his presence? Are we prepared to tend the fire, to look after the fire, to make sure that the fire is burning brightly? You see, unless the fire of God's presence is respected and looked after, it will be quenched, even dampened down so much that it goes out. And so the question is, how do we look after this fire? Well, the first thing that I want to suggest is we need to raise our expectations. If we believe the Bible, then God being present with us is what we should expect, tangibly present with us. And when God is present with us, we will know that he's present with us because we will encounter his power as well. I love the way that Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft write about this in their book, Everyday Supernatural. They write, when we talk about seeking God's presence, we simply mean we are seeking to be close to Jesus. Our goal should be relationship with Jesus, not power from Jesus. The power of God cannot be separated from his presence. If you are standing next to a fire, you know you'll become warm. If you jump in a pool, you know you'll get wet. In the same way, if you are close to the Lord, his power will be present. The power is in the presence. And you see, the danger is that we can settle for what we already have. We can remain satisfied with much less than the fullness of life that is on offer in Jesus. Much less of God's presence, much less of God's power in our lives. And as I reflect on this, I know that this is true for me. It's true for how I've led Open Door Church as well. You know, we've seen some good things to take encouragement from. But I recognize I haven't always treasured and valued God's presence amongst our church community. And I want to say sorry for that, for not valuing that highly enough, the fire of God. There's been times where we've just been getting on with doing stuff in our own strength, relying on our own abilities and our own hard work. And I've not called us back and said, come on, guys, we need to just stop and we need to encounter the fire of God again, pursue it together. And so I want to confess that. I want to repent of it and tell you that I'm asking God to help me to lead into this more strongly in the future, to be a church where the presence of God is treasured and where the presence of God is the thing that marks us out. And so that's for me personally and for us as a leadership team. But there's a personal responsibility for each of us too. In those verses in 1 Thessalonians that I read, verse 17, it just says, pray continually. In other words, keep the phone off the hook. Keep connected to God. And for many reasons, we don't do that. We don't ask enough for his fire. We don't ask enough for the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives day by day. Maybe we get busy and we're just so busy doing other things that we neglect to ask. We don't stop and ask. Maybe we get distracted and we become self-reliant and we keep going in our own strength, trying to do the best that we can do in our own abilities rather than trusting in the fire of God, the Holy Spirit's presence with us to do what we can't do. Maybe we're hindered by fear. The thing about fire is it's not safe, and sometimes we want to control the fire of God, but actually we need to release control, relinquish control, and actually just trust in God's goodness, that he will, his presence will come amongst us and do what he wants to do, and that will always be good. And so we need to raise our expectations of God's presence with us, is the first thing that I want to suggest, that will help us to make sure we're not quenching the fire. The second thing is this, we need to deal with our sin. Verse 21, 22 in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians says this, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. And as the name suggests, the Holy Spirit is holy. He is pure. He is set apart. As Moses approached God in the bush, he removed his shoes and bowed low. And we must come to God. We must approach him humbly. Yes, he's our loving Father. But we must remember that God hates sin. And the reason that he hates sin is because it separates us from him. Sin causes separation. Our mess, our wrongdoing distances us from him because of his holiness. He is set apart and holy. And every time we live in an unholy way, it causes this separation. The great news is that through faith in Christ, we can be forgiven. We are already made pure. God sees us as pure and blameless. Our forgiveness in him is secure for eternity. We get to be with him forever when we put our trust in Jesus. That's part of the story. But the other part of the story is that Jesus also wants to sanctify us and clean up our sin day by day. He wants to make us increasingly more like him and refine us on an ongoing process. When the Holy Spirit reveals sin in our lives, we must be quick to confess it and to repent of it. If we don't do that, we quench his fire and we experience this separation between us and God. The Holy Spirit won't continue to fall and fill people. The Holy Spirit won't continue to dwell with people who are deliberately living with sin. And so God's presence becomes less common and less tangible in our lives and amongst our community. And so let's deal with our sin. And thirdly, and this is a similar way of saying the same thing, I think, is live in obedience. This is the counter to disobedience, is to live in obedience. All sin is disobedience towards God. And the Holy Spirit is constantly drawing us towards Jesus and leading us to respond to him. So as well as repenting of sin, of things that we've already done wrong, of willingly engaging in that process of being refined, we also need to choose to live obediently as we move forward in what the Holy Spirit is asking of us. Maybe when we feel prompted to pray for someone else that God shows us, then we need to move and we need to act and respond obediently. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to use our finances to bless someone or to give generously, we need to respond to that prompting. When we feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to speak out for justice, maybe in our workplace or in our neighborhood, we need to step out and do just that. If we don't, if we choose not to partner with the Holy Spirit and obey his promptings, then we quench the fire. So we need to raise our expectations. We need to deal with our sin. We need to live in obedience. And then fourthly, we need to live with joy and thanksgiving. Verse 16, 17 and 18, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. You see, the Holy Spirit is always glorifying Jesus. And we too must do the same with all of our lives. We must live a lifestyle of worship and live with gratitude, giving thanks to Jesus in all things for who he is and all that he's done for us. So I want to tell you that God wants his fire to burn brightly among us. He wants Holy Spirit presence to be tangible in this church and as we go out to our community, to the places where we go. And you know, I don't just want to talk about it, but I want us to experience that. Me talking and you listening is fine and it's good, but it's much better for us to tend the fire and to stoke it up. And in a moment, we're going to be just inviting the Holy Spirit to come and God to presence himself wherever we are, wherever you are, as you are watching this. But I just want to say that this is not a one-off message. I don't want this to be something that we do today and then we forget about next week. This is something we need to live with for this season. We need to live with it permanently as a church. And one of the things that we feel we want to do is to use the Sunday evenings where we have been meeting on Zoom. We want to use those times to activate more of the presence of God amongst us, more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to equip people to live fully in the presence of God. And so next Sunday, we are meeting in the evening. As you know, we meet each week. Some weeks we meet in the morning, some weeks we meet in the evening. Next Sunday, we're meeting in the evening. And we want to offer not only the Zoom, but also for those of you that want to come in person, there'll be about 24, 25 spaces at the Open Door Center for you to come down and engage with this. We also want to bring the time slightly earlier to 7 o'clock rather than 8 o'clock from next week for our evening meetings. And this is going to be an opportunity to activate more of what I'm talking about, more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, more of the presence of God amongst us. I'd love you to join for that. We'll book in on our website this week. But right now, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. We want to look to you, Jesus. We thank you that you are the one who baptizes with fire. You are the one who sends the Holy Spirit. And as we come before you now, we say, would you send your fire upon us? That we would receive it for ourselves in our homes and in the places where we are. And that we as a church would be filled with your presence, your love, your intimacy, your kindness, and your power. Thank you that your presence and your power go together. And so I pray, come, Holy Spirit. We're just going to wait, give some space for what God wants to do. And in your heart, just invite him to come. Ask him for his fire. And he will meet with you. As you ask him for more of his presence, for more of the Holy Spirit, for more of his fire, you might feel like you need to repent for having lower expectations than you should have had. Maybe you've read things in the Bible and you've just kind of written them off that was for then and not for now. Maybe you've just been too busy to ask for more of the Holy Spirit each day. Maybe you've been fearful and you know you need to repent and relinquish control and trust in God's goodness. Maybe you've been self-reliant and tried to do things in your own strength and you need now to come and say, God, I give up trying to do things in my own strength and I ask you for your Spirit. And the great thing is that when we repent, when we come to Jesus and we confess our sins, he is faithful and true and forgives us and restores us. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, as people are repenting and choosing to turn around, God, would you come by your power, by your fire, by your presence and meet with them. Meet with me, meet with us. We pray more, Lord. Keep coming. We pray, keep coming today. Keep coming this week. each day we want to cry out to you, more of your Spirit, an ongoing filling. We ask for that. We thank you that you love to dwell with us. And we choose to highly value your presence with us, Lord God. Let's continue to worship him and receive from him.